we're starting that part two of discipline of the Lord, and you might hear the discipline of the Lord, and you're like, oh my goodness, I've already got enough trouble in my life. And let me say, so sometimes we hear this thing about discipline of the Lord, we can take it wrong. One thing, we can imagine things, I talked about it last week, we think about things maybe abusive, and we know our God is not abusive, amen? He's a loving God, He's a kind God, He loves us, He is for us and not against us. But sometimes I've heard things that I feel like that come forth that if you're not going to have any struggles, or God is, you know, no, that's wrong. There's things that are going to come our way that we're going to have to fight through, and we're going to grow in Him, that God sees those things, amen. Doesn't mean He's left us or forsaken us in any way, but He is looking to grow us up in Him. Did you know that? Remember, I'd mentioned before, have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Remember the young girl that was a spoiled brat because everything she wanted, she got, and she just would just throw a fit. You know, our God understands that He could give us everything that we desire right now. But He's looking for you and I to trust Him, because one thing, we walk by faith and not by sight. What pleases God while we're here walking on earth is our faith, period. Number one, our faith. You know from Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of fame faith. What does it talk about in there about what pleased God? Was it their righteousness? No. Was it all their perfect behavior? No, it was their faith. It was their faith. God is desiring for you and I to grow up in Him. And sometimes we have things come against us that grow us. Remember, I had told you that I was all of a sudden I'd entered into this season with some financial struggles, and I was rebuked last week, just a small cap off. I was rebuking the enemy and all this stuff. And then God spoke to my heart and said, no, this is my doing. I know the Lord's voice. When He says those things, you could tell, I don't care what you say, I know it was the Lord speaking to me, because I definitely believe in His prosperity. I believe in Him providing our needs, and God bless. I believe in the blessing of God. But when those things started to dry up a little bit that hadn't been dry before, I said, Lord, what is going on? After I rebuked the enemy for weeks on end, let go of my finances. Then all of a sudden the Lord said, hey, this is my doing. And as I've been walking through that, the Lord has been showing some little things in my heart and life, things that I believe, little beliefs, little things I begin to trust in. He says, no, I don't want you trusting that anymore. I want you, of course I want to bless you and everything, but I want your trust to be in me. I want you to be hungry and thirsty for me. I want you to want a move of God in this generation, Chad, and not just making it about your finances, your bank account. I want you to see beyond just you to what I want to do out there. Have I got your attention, Chad? I said, Lord, you do have my attention. Thank you for getting my attention. Because the Word does say that if you are not undergoing discipline, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, then you do not belong to Him. And so when I see people, different things, or talking with people, or seeing marriages dissolve and somebody living in some deception or whatever, what I start praying, I said, Lord, if that person is yours, please, with your loving, kind discipline, get their attention. Get their attention. Lord, if they are truly yours, your Word says that if you don't undergo discipline, then you are not a child of mine. But when you belong to Him, He says, man, I love you. You belong to me. I will use things in your life to get your attention. So He's thinking long term. Sometimes being uncomfortable, can I say this? Sometimes being uncomfortable is the best position you could ever be in. Our flesh loves to be fat and sassy. You know, I'm just saying that. I'm not talking about just, but doesn't it? Loves to be fat and sassy. It loves to have its way and just live in just total ease. But sometimes we are put in the difficult situations where the Lord says, hey, can I get your attention? You know, Paul's letter, the 2 Timothy, was his last letter that he wrote. Did you know that? He was in a prison in Rome. And he said, and I don't have it up here, but he said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, he said. And the time of my departure has come. He knew this. His walk with the Lord, he says, the time of my departure has come, and I have fought the good fight. And I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And see, that's what the Lord wants for you and I, because we see too many people that are not finishing the fight. We're seeing too many people that are becoming discouraged and giving up and giving in to deception. And God is saying this. This is what Paul's saying. He says, I did not do that. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. He said, I went through many things, but I never gave up and I never gave in. I let God's power work through my weaknesses. I didn't give in. And I don't know about you, but we're in a day and age where many people are making excuses to fall off and to get into all kinds of things that are nonsense and not being pulling the word of God close to them, saying, I want to walk in his truth. I want to walk in his victory. I don't want to give in. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to start just talking about different things. I want God and his Holy Spirit in this day and age that we live in. Man, I don't want to be deceived. The fear of the Lord, I've come to realize first and foremost, is, Lord, I don't want to go into any deception. I don't want to believe in any foolishness. Man, Lord, I want your truth to be leading and guiding me. And sometimes little things that make us uncomfortable in our lives, God will use those things to get our attention, saints. Now, I understand that the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he says, Jesus, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But there's little things we're going to talk about that he does to get yours and my attention. And so Paul here, it's his last book, and so he knows that he's going to be leaving the earth soon. He says, I've fought the good fight, man. I finished this race. I didn't give up or give in. In a day and age, you've even seen people that used to really walk with God and have a heart for the things of God now beginning to go off in error or giving up or saying, I'm no longer deconstruction of their faith. I'm no longer following Christ, or I no longer believe in hell, or I no longer believe in heaven, or whatever it is. So when we see these things, you and I, saints, have to say, man, I am going to fight the fight. I'm going to finish the faith. I'm not going to be led astray in any way, shape, or form. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And remember, this is his last book. So he's saying, Timothy, I have some things I want to tell you that this will be the last time you'll hear from me. And so he says, I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. What's he say to Timothy? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Regardless of what's going on, be ready to declare my truth. Amen. Doesn't matter what season of life or where you're at in. Be instant, in season, out of season. Correct. He says, correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instructions. You know, one of the things that I've come to learn as I'm walking with the Lord is, man, you've got to have patience. Have you learned that? You've got to have some patience. Man, it doesn't happen overnight. Walking in his strength, his grace, and his mercy, and his strength, and him blessing your life, amen? I remember when I was younger in the business world, it was like, we're going to get it done right now. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. But as I've gotten older, I've come to realize, Lord, lead me by your patience. It's about other people around me as well. Lord, the things that I still want you to do inside of me, the struggles, things I still want you to do in family or business or whatever, Lord, I wish it happened right now, but I've had to learn when you come into maturity through the Lord that you're going to have to stop sometimes. You're going to have to say, Lord, I got to wait upon you. And while you're waiting, you can smell the roses. Amen. I was talking about this morning. I had a grandfather, he was in the business world, very successful, and as he got older and was getting near his deathbed, I said, Grandpa, what would you do differently? And he said, I wish I'd stopped, and that's like that old saying, he said, I wish I'd stopped and smelled the roses. I wish I wasn't about just hurry, 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 hurry. It was funny because even when he's older and I drive him in his car and we get behind a school bus, he'd say, doggone it, they need to hurry up. And I said, Grandpa, we don't have anywhere to go. You don't have nowhere to go. But we're in a society sometimes where it's always just about hurry, hurry, hurry. I realize with the flesh, it's always about I want it right now. And so much of what I mentioned last week, the discipline of the Lord is when we're praying for things, whatever you're praying for, keep trusting him, keep worshiping him. It's more than just about what the things you want. It's more about, God, I honor you with my whole life. I'm trusting you. Man, because it's faith, Lord. The things that are going on around me, Lord, I worship you and honor you and thank you and praise you and thank you that, Lord, that you know the desires of my heart. Lord, I know that you'll answer those prayers, and maybe there's a little bit of a desperation that's come in, and that's okay, but keep trusting him, amen? Keep worshiping him. And as I said last week, tell the flesh to go lay down. Go lay down. We're going to wait upon God and we're going to follow him. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not. He's talking to maybe a time like, I wonder if he could be talking to a time like ours. I know this is a couple thousand years ago, but this is where Paul, the last book that he penned to Timothy, he was seeing in the future, he was seeing something prophetic. Hear what he says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be me. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Meaning, hey, these are the desires of my flesh. These are the desires that I want. And I'll heap people that'll tell me that it's okay. I can pursue those things. I don't have to wait for anything. Just tell me what my flesh and my soul realm wants to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. They'll get interested in everything but the Word of God. They'll say, well, I love God, I'm born again, but everything that they pursue in their lives and the passion, it's everything but the Word of God. In this day, in this age, Lord, help us once again to assimilate or get rid of those things that really don't benefit us, amen? And say, Lord, in this day and age, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on what you have for me and my family. Lord, I'm going to stir myself up in the gifts and the calling of God. Lord, you've heard me say this, so I like to say this. Lord, I don't care if Bigfoot is real or not. Lord, I'm not going to put my focus there. I'm going to put my focus on you. But then when they find Bigfoot, I want to see him. I've been waiting. Does he talk? Does he have his own language? I don't know. Anyway, they'll turn to myths and that. But it said, verse 5 here, it's so powerful, it says this, but as for you, use self-restraint in all things. Self-restraint in all things. Test everything. Make sure that the things that you're, in today's world, that you're focused on, right, isn't all Fox News. Isn't all the Communist News Network. Isn't all whatever you want to call it. Make sure that what you're pulling in is it blessing your soul? Is it strengthening you? Because we can listen, I don't care if even the political things, we can focus on things that God says, this is not going to be the way out for this country. And we can be fooled. We can be deceived focusing on something that is not going to change this country. But I know that his Holy Spirit will. And I know there's a move of God coming in this generation. I'm telling you, there's a move of God coming. There has to be. If this is all there is, let's not do it anymore. But there is something I believe in with all my heart that God is doing in this day, in this age. And that's what I want to talk about. Paul says, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. It'd be like this saying today, mom and dads, fulfill your ministry with your kids. Amen. Man, if you're in business, do the best you can in business. Whatever you're doing, you put your hand to, do it with all your heart. Do the work of an evangelist. If you're an employer, be the best employee. If you're an employee, be the best employee. Whatever God has you to do right now, here's the thing. Do it with all your heart. What does God want you to do? What do you have in your hand right now? That's what God wants you to do for his glory. And then if there's a change coming, he'll change you. He'll change you. He'll let you know. So how does God discipline a believer? Well, first thing, let me say, it's through his word. He desires to do it through his word, the word of God. We had just read before up there, he says to reprove and exhort with the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God. Have you ever thought about what the scripture was then, what that he's talking about? I'm about the Old Testament. He's talking about the grace of God, the new covenant that was veiled in the old covenant being revealed in these last days. At this time, he wasn't talking about these letters that he had written to the different churches. These were of the revelation that God had given him. What he was talking about, all scripture is inspired by God and under the lens of the new covenant, it says, and is beneficial for what? For teaching. Can you say teaching? All scripture is inspired by God and is beneficial for teaching. For rebuke. The word of God will rebuke you. Amen? And if the word of God has never rebuked you, man, it challenges you. The word of God is meant to challenge you. Amen? It says for correction, along that same time, rebuke for correction. The word of God will rebuke you, and then you come into correction. Amen and amen. It says for correction, it says for training in righteousness. What is the word of God for? In training in righteousness. Man, if there's anything I've come to realize that his word of God is, as the Holy Spirit reveals it, it teaches me my paths. It helps me along the path, those things that might be a struggle for me. He'll reveal his goodness to me. His voice, his word of God will say, don't go this direction. No, Chad, don't act out of your flesh here. Don't act out of your anger. Don't act out of your own haste. Just trust me and keep following me. Man, the word of God is powerful. The word of God changes me constantly. Man, as he has given us a new heart, amen, and he's given us a new heart and a brand new spirit, the word of God now is available to be illuminated to me, where before I knew him, I would look at the word and it was just words. It meant nothing. But when you're born again, all of a sudden, the word of God has the availability to be illuminated, to come alive in you and change every direction in your life. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That our hearts will be stirred up by the truth. And I love this. So that, and it says, correction for training in righteousness. And it says this, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to say, Lord, I want to be fully equipped. I want to be fully capable in my marriage. Not just at what we have these ideals of what that might mean, fully capable, just the ministry types of things. No, I want to be fully capable in my marriage. I want to be fully capable with my children. I want to be fully capable in my home. Wherever I am, I want to be walking in his truth and his peace. Hallelujah. Through the power and the illumination of the word of God. Thank you, Lord. See, it's equipped to walk in God's anointing and power. There's nothing more devastating than to have God's anointing and power, but no godly character to walk it out. You know, past moves of God's are proof. There's proof of that. Did you know that? And we'll get that to that in a minute. So let me say this. It says the word of God is designed to be what disciplines us. It teaches us. But I often wonder, because there's times where people don't listen to his word. What about people that don't understand his word, or they're deceived? They'll think, no, there's deceived in the word. They're not listening to his word. And then you know what? Difficulties and trials, listen to me. Difficulties and trials, often I've come to realize, often I don't even understand some things in the word until I'm desperate to hear from him in a struggle. There is something about desperation during a struggle that allows the word of God to be illuminated in me. There's been times where I'm not listening. Anybody been here? Because people say, hey, he only hears you, he only disciplines you with his word. But what if people are not even reading his word? Or what they're reading it, they're determining out of their own flesh what it means. That God will do what he has to in difficulties and uncomfort in our lives to get our attention. And I know that's not popular, but I've come to realize that even God speaking through to me during this situation, man, he cares more for about me maturing and growing in him. He's not going to allow me to be deceived. He's not going to allow me to get off track, because I belong to him. And he says, I'll get you on track. You'll be the one to determine how much misery can come to your soul until you say, Lord, I'm coming back in that area. I'm not going to allow myself to be rebellious in this area anymore. I'm going to humble myself, repent, and come back to you. And he's always there waiting. Man, I believe God right now in His church is bringing a discipline to bring some maturity in our lives. If God poured out His Spirit like we want in His church right now, I think it would be disastrous. It would be absolutely disastrous. James 1, 2 and 4, we'll get there, says, count it all joys, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith, so what's being tested? Your faith. What's precious to God? Your faith. Your faith. As your faith goes, He loves you, but as your faith goes in this life is where you're going to go. He's wanting to continue to build our confidence in Him. If there's anything I've realized in the last 3 years, coming through some great struggles, and God being faithful, crying tears, wondering how did this situation or that turn this way, Lord? How did I find myself here? But just humbling myself and coming to Him and saying, Lord, I don't have an answer for this area. As I've done that, I've seen God grow me up in a way with confidence in Him that I never have. I wish there was an easier way. Man, my flesh says, there's got to be an easier way. But I come to these things that are pressed against my soul, whether it be through people or circumstances, that I've just cried out to Him and said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know it's going to work out, but I know one thing. I have nowhere to go backwards. I can't go. I have to go right through this. And I've learned that He's been with me every step of the way. I've grown in my confidence and my strength and my character with Him. And now I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's what God was doing to mature me and what He has for me. Believe me, I wish there was another way. Sometimes I think our gospel can be about, preach to me how I can be comfortable. Preach to me how I can just skirt through things and not have any difficulties. But that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will go through hot fire, temptations, and trials, but you're going to come through the other end, growed up in Him, so He can use you for His glory. Hallelujah. As Paul says, the light afflictions that we go through is not to be compared to what will be revealed to us when we see Him face to face. And when you read those things that He calls light afflictions, it's like, wow. I say, thank God I'm not an apostle. Thank God I'm not an apostle. Count it all joys, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Those things that you might be praying for and believing for right now, the Lord knows it. Keep worshiping Him. Keep honoring Him. Keep building a testimony in Him. Keep proving that He's faithful. Man, He's faithful. Much of the things that we go through is how we prove that He's faithful in our lives. Much of those things, when you come out through the other side of those things, you're saying, man, God, I'm glad I trusted You through that situation. I could have gone backwards. I could have complained. I could have bellyached. I could have had my mouth full of unbelief. But man, Lord, I finally determined I'm going to worship You and honor You and praise You and not give up or give in, and can keep going forward and seeing God's faithfulness. And that, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. When your flesh doesn't have an answer, it's time for the Spirit to lead and guide you. I said, when the flesh can't come up with an answer, it's time to start growing to allow His Spirit to lead and guide you. Don't we have a good Father? Trials and temptations are different. Temptations are things that James says that are drawn away by our own lust. And it says God doesn't tempt anybody with evil. So I'm not talking about that. That's totally something different. I'm talking about these things that press against you, that come your way, that there's nothing you can do about, and you have to trust Him. It's an opportunity to grow in Him. This is count it all joy, because what's it mean? Count it all joy, because you're going to get an opportunity to see God act on your behalf. You're going to get an opportunity to see God grow you and grow you and grow you in Him. You know, I can mention this before. I believe God is doing a work of training in His church, in the church right now. I'm going to say a few things. I wonder if God was to pour out his spirit right now on the American church, if it wouldn't be, if it just wouldn't produce a lot of people with new self-promoting ministries, a new wave of books on how to get God's anointing, people with new titles. I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. I pastor the fastest growing church in America because of signs and wonders, big new fancy buildings. What if God just started pouring out his spirit in people who are completely been in brokenness or on medications, just to keep saying, what if God began to pour his spirit out in a way that we did not imagine? See, it sounds like the ministry of Jesus to the broken, amen, on this earth. What if God bypasses many churches in this country and starts pouring out supernatural things in parks, in grocery stores, around kitchen tables, in schoolyards, in college campuses? What if God starts pouring out his spirit in places we could never imagine, while you and I sitting here waiting for God to do something, when God will be actually doing it out there, amen? Man, what God is trying to do in his church is we need people of character in this day and this age. In a day and age, we're out of the world, there's no character. We've got to have character in the house of God. And until we have character, God builds our character. I don't believe he'll pour out his spirit in signs and wonders like we want. As we sit here and wait, he said, I want people of character. I need people that are growed up in him. And growed up is a Chino Valley word. That's what I believe the Lord has shown me. Does he heal people? Yes, he heals people. He does amazing things. But the worst thing, you know, God, I think of this, of, you know, God blesses the humble and the contrite, right? And I think of a past moves of God. Let me just give examples that, you know, I knew this. I read these books about this guy named A.A. Allen. The powerful, I mean, he did thousands of miracles. You know, and but they say he didn't die. But they say he didn't finish well. Many say maybe he finished as an alcoholic. And I worked for his son. I worked for his son, A.A. Allen's son. His name was James Allen. He was a superintendent of a big job site in Prescott. And I was like 18, so I was just a laborer. And I remember going up to him and saying, "Man, I read these books about your dad with amazing miracle signs and wonders." And he just sat there and looked at me without a single expression in his face. Nothing. Made me wonder why. Why what happened? You know, God, I believe God is going to be pouring out his spirit again. But I think he wants people that are going to finish well. He wants people that are going to be like Paul, that are going to finish the race. He doesn't want to have any more wrecks. Another example, something that really breaks my heart. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Lonnie Frisbee? Yes. You know, if it wasn't for Lonnie Frisbee, this, you know, they sanitized his name out of a couple of moves of God's because of what he did. But here's the truth of the matter. If there wasn't for Lonnie Frisbee, what would the Calvary Chapel look like? You know, Chuck Smith wasn't known by anybody until Lonnie Frisbee showed up on the scene. Lonnie Frisbee is 19 years old, got this anointing of miracles and things happen in his life. Immediately, Chuck Smith gives him the Wednesday night service. And at 19 years old, he's gotten 500 people coming to his Wednesday night service because the miracles and the power of God are being poured out. But when you look for the beginning of Calvary Chapel, you won't see much on Lonnie Frisbee. There's another move of God called the Vineyard. You guys ever heard of the Vineyard? And the guy that's kind of responsible for, I'm trying to think what his name, John Timbler? Wimber, yes. But the truth of the matter is, in 1980, Lonnie Frisbee goes to his church, 1980 Mother's Day. And there's a bunch of people. There's about 300 young people and all these other adults. And he begins to give his testimony. And he says, Holy Spirit come. And about 300 kids are on their flat on their face. The power of God moved in such a mighty way. He went to John the next day. Because what happened is half the church left. We don't know what happened, but we don't want any part of it. Half the church left. Then they had this meeting with the leadership, and Lonnie Frisbee went in there and says, told John, what you need is an encounter from God. And he was right. It was really what was the beginning of what made the Vineyard Church explode. But then again, you won't read anything about Lonnie Frisbee and those two major denominations, because even though he had this amazing anointing and power on his life, his character didn't match it. And as they find out later, he ended up dying at 43 years of age with AIDS. Man, he had repented, and the people that were part of him came and spoke with him. But how sad. God didn't want that for him. Those amazing, powerful moves. What happened is he didn't have the character of God. He didn't have really, probably didn't really truly have a father figure that could come alongside him and say, this is not going to happen. You're going to have to grow in your character. See, if we have a release of a power of God, I think, in this generation and just the church, I think it could end up just like that, because we are so focused on what we see on Twitter and TV and different things. We see the young people see these things that are happening. They're saying, if I could just be like that person. But that person doesn't have any character. And so what the Lord is doing, I believe, in the church is he is maturing us. When he pours out his spirit, he doesn't want another wreck like he had in many cases in the 70s. He wants his people to finish well. What's the use of it to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life and then not have it finish well? That's not what God wants. I believe he's doing a thing where there's pressures coming against people, pressures, things shaking in society here in the United States. And people of God have got to say, Lord, I'm going to grow in you. My character matters more to me than anything. That's why it's so important we don't have people here in the pulpit that we don't know. We don't know their character. They may have giftings, they have abilities, they may have talents, they may have an anointing. But if they don't have character, we don't want them in the pulpit. If you're chasing after people just because of their abilities or talents, but you're not concerned about their character, or if you're hanging around people like that and they have characters that are suspect, then you are aligning yourself with them and are in the same boat. How do I know who you are? By the people you hang out. I can tell you exactly who you are by the people that you hang out with. Lord, may we have a desire to grow in character, the character of honesty, integrity. Man, what we say matters. That's the biggest thing the Lord has been speaking to me lately. He said, Chad, if it's out of your mouth, you better do it and back it up. Because I'll do things and forget about it and act like it's not a big deal. And so I can't. The Lord says, your character matters more than anything. We need people that make character the priority. Then the anointing that God places on our lives will carry with us the remainder of our lives with no wrecks, no abandonment of faith later, no disillusionment of what God, where did you go, God? God blesses the humble and the contrite. I believe God is doing a shaking in his church, a discipline, teaching us before he pours out any big spirit of his spirit. He will not give the keys to the kingdom to an adolescent, self-promoted, entertainment-minded church. Asbury was a taste, but it didn't last. Remember that? See, God needs people of character and maturity. I think of Paul Kane, another guy that could read people's mail. Powerful ministry. Man of God. Dies a life being wrecked by different affairs, living all kinds of different lifestyles. He had this amazing anointing, but his character did not match it. I think the Lord is not going to allow that to happen in this time around. I think God's going to be pouring out his spirit, like I say, on people that don't have titles. I think God's going to be using people that have been so broken. Amen. And God's going to do a supernatural move, I believe, in this day and age in the brokenhearted. Because the Word of God says that he heals the brokenhearted. But we got too many people with broken hearts that have not been healed. But I think God's getting ready to change that. If he doesn't move, then we don't have no hope. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to fill them with his glory. And he's going to use people we never even knew. That's what I believe this last move of God. It'll be in the byways and the highways. It'll be around your living room table. You don't have to have me there. Just have to have a hungry heart, a person that is wanting to walk in the footsteps and the character of Christ Jesus, hungry for a move of God. He can move in any place. You can be with just a couple of friends around your kitchen table and glory come down and heaven fill your soul. And you didn't even have to call the pastor and ask. That's what he wants to do. Are we waiting for something to happen here that may not happen? Not like we think it's going to. Yeah. He wants it to happen wherever you're at. Wherever you're located, like I said. Your room. When you're in bed, worshiping him. When you're waking up on that Monday morning, just worshiping the Lord God. And his spirit is stirring you powerfully. God breaking fetters and chains as we become desperate, saying, God, I can't live this way anymore. God, I can't pretend anymore. As we begin to do that in our lives, a desperate cry to God, he is going to move, I believe, in a powerful way. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. So again, I say, I believe an amazing move of the Spirit is coming in the form of a sound mind, discipline, deliverance from the soul realm in a generation of broken people, mentally and emotionally devastated, people full of ADHD and everything else, so people diagnosed with everything imaginable. I believe God is going to begin to, for those that are hungry for him, are going to begin to set these people free supernaturally. I believe God's going to do that in this day and this age, because if he doesn't, what hope do we have? Counselors that can't heal you. Medications can't heal you. Only the Spirit of God can heal the brokenhearted. Amen? And I'm thanking God. I believe he's going to do that in this day, in this age. Hallelujah. That's called a move of the Lord. But so, right now, so few are becoming absolutely free. But I believe a supernatural illumination of the truth of God's word is coming. Truth brings freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. I believe with all my heart he's going to do something in this day, in this age. Through the least likely. I think there'll be many entertainment-focused churches that are going to be left behind and are just going to continue to do what they do. Entertainment can't change a life. And I'm not saying there's certain things we don't do. It's only the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, let me move on quickly. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice. This is in the Amplified. Or fear. But he has given us a spirit of power. This is what he's given us, a spirit of power and of love. Supernatural love for one another. You ever walked and say, right now, a lot of us may, speaking from ourselves, sometimes we can walk like this. Yeah, I know the Word of God says I've got to love. But when God's power moves, it's not just signs and wonders. It's a supernatural love for one another. A supernatural love for one another. It says, so he will give us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound, and it says, and of sound judgment and personal discipline. Here you go, personal discipline. Abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. Self-control, sound mind, peace, strength, his ability. Father, I pray that we thank you for this day and this age as people around this country begin to cry out to you. Those that are bound by depression. Lord, those that have different, the doctor says you've got this and you're really never going to be free. You'll have to be on medication your whole life. You'll never be able to pay attention. You'll never be able to do this or do that. This is what I believe, though, that God is breaking the power of the lie of the enemy, giving people new minds, giving them a new heart, a new spirit, changing them. People giving them a place of peace. God, things that have happened in the past, God's healing them. They're not looking in the back of what's happened in the past. They're just looking forward, amen. God's healing and delivering, setting people for free. Those are the ones that I believe God is going to use in this day and in this era. But let me ask you this, do you see your need for him, amen? Do you see that he's the only one that can help you? Or are you satisfied, maybe you're in some type of bondage, are you satisfied where you're at? Or is there something in your heart that says, I know there is more? And I'm telling you right now today that there is more joy, more strength, more power, more anointing in every believer's heart. But for the first step is saying, Lord, I want that. I'm no longer willing to negotiate with the things that are crippling me. No more. Lord, I'm coming to you for my healing. What does his Spirit do? It releases not only powers of signs and wonders and miracles, it releases a love for others, especially our fellow brothers and sisters. That's supernatural. And it heals the mind and the soul and the brokenhearted. Thank you, God, that you are beginning to do that in this day, in this age, in your church, in America. Thank you, Lord, that like Jesus said to those, it says, because you claim to see, your blindness remains. But Lord, that those that realize, Lord, I need your help. I have no hope anywhere else but in you. Those are the ones God's going to heal and use for his glory. John 8:35. I'm going to move forward. Bill. So I'm going to say this. God is producing people of character. Remember, there's going to be last day. Jesus is going to stand before. There's going to be people come up to him and say, he said, I never knew you. Then you say, didn't we do signs and wonders and all these things? He says, I never knew you. Our character and knowing him and truly knowing him has got to be the utmost important. God is producing people of character. People have come out of trials. A Christ character of God that is worth more than silver or gold. Amen. You see, there's been many that have given up and become despaired and turned to falsehood. I don't know about you. I'm not going to be one of those. I may have my struggles. I may have things that'll come against me and try to bring discouragement, but I'm not going to give up. How about you? Let me do this last point I want to make. Then we'll be done. Matthew 21:12. Bill, I'm going to Matthew all the way to the end. Matthew 21:12. This is what I believe Jesus is doing right now. And Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. See, this is what I want to say. This is, you and I are that temple. I'm not saying that you're full of, you're a den of, I'm saying that, where does Christ live now? We are the temple. You see, what I believe God is doing right now is in our life is he's turning tables. He's changing some things that he needs to change in our lives. See, he came in there with a cord, with a whip. And he drove out that indicates his discipline. I'm not saying he's taking a whip to you, but I'm saying that indicates he went in. That whip indicates discipline. And he turned over those tables. He turned everything over. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer. This house that you have and I, it belongs to him. Amen. You belong to him. And thankfully for things that might be coming against you, we're in a day and age where God says, I'm going to overturn some things in your life for your own betterment, for your own good. Things that I need to get your attention on that have been at you, that have been keeping you from me, from truly coming into me, that you've had maybe for decades. It's a time where I'm turning those things over in your life. I'm revealing those things, and I want you to be done with them because I want you to come into true growth and my prosperity, my strength and my peace. Can't you see that I'm overturning those things in your life? Repent and leave them behind so you can grow in me. So we are his temple. He's overturns the idolatry things, maybe idolatrous things in our lives. You can be born again and still have things that you hold dear that God says, let them go. I've got so much more for you. We are his temple. He's overturned the idolatry in our lives, that cord of discipline. The dove is the Holy Spirit. It's not just an entity that we say, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit, that we use for any outward show or to attain something But it is for the complete control of our lives. So he said there, I have the money tables. I'm turning those over. He said there were those that were selling doves. You know, doves is a representation of the Holy Spirit. You can't sell the gifting of God. Amen. You can't buy God's love. You can't buy his mercy. You can't buy his strength. But the Holy Spirit is an example here of his dove, meaning, man, I want every bit of it. You belong to me. I'm overturning tables. I'm overturning things in your life. And the Holy Spirit is meant to work with power and wonder from the inside out. Thank you, Jesus. See, our temple is a place of worship and thanksgiving, a place of clean, wholesome speech. And when it says a den of robbers is Satan, what if it says a den of robbers? That is a representation of those areas of our lives where the Satan is just ripping off and stealing and is blind. He says, you've made it a den of robbers. Well, how to do that? There's like allowing the enemy in areas to eat our lunch, overturning the tables. The dove representing the Holy Spirit wanting to do a miraculous, powerful work in our lives. And what Jesus says, you've turned into a den of thieves, saying you've allowed the enemy to whip your hiney in some areas. Jesus saying, be done with it. Amen. Victory in those areas, the day and age. Let go of those things. Pursue me. Allow the word of God to touch you in the deepest part of your heart. Give your entire life to me. I love you. I'm waiting for you. I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to bring peace and joy. Understand this, that the Holy Spirit is the one that does that work in your life. When we submit to God, therefore, amen, the Holy Spirit can do much more than we ever can do on our own, amen. And then what happened right after that, when he overturned the tables, amen, says you're just these doves, you're just selling, the Holy Spirit is not doing in your life what I designed it to do. Jesus does that, and then what's he do? And it says the next verse, this is amazing, Matthew 21:14, and then after that, after Jesus did that, and those who were blind and those who limped came to him in the temple area and healed them. As soon as they said, Lord, as soon as they submitted to God's discipline in their lives, overturned those tables, some tables in our lives, recognized the power of the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do with us, then it says that Jesus began to heal the blind, give his eyes to truly see him, and he began to heal those who were limp. Those things in their lives that we limp around our whole lives, many people, their whole lives, inside limping, struggling. God says, allow me to overturn these tables in your lives. Allow me to speak to you. Quit making excuses for things that I'm wanting to deal with in your lives. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Man, as we allow these things to be flipped upside down, as we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to affect our lives, man, we're going to see him like we've never seen him before. Those areas that are limp in our lives are going to be healed and made whole. And God is doing miraculous things as the piano player comes, as we stand up. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this word of God. I want to read it again. And Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. Lord, thank you. Those areas, Lord, were the enemy. Lord, show us those things where you're overturning. Lord, show us those things, Father God, that are crippling us, Father God. Allow the Holy Spirit to have an impact in our souls, in our minds, that we could never imagine. Father, how we love you, how we praise you, how we thank you. Do you love him this morning? And when that ends, then we got to understand, it says, and those who were blind and those who were limp came to him in the temple area and he healed them. But it goes on to say this, it says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done and the children who were shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. The religious aren't going to like it. They'll always make fun of you. Or they'll say this or whatever. So did you see the religious, that form of godliness? Received nothing They just mocked him. But those representing you and I, the temple of God, as God is over, now we were allowing him to overturn things in our lives and saying, Lord, some of this stuff that you've been wanting to deal with for maybe decades, Lord, as I begin to allow myself, Romans 8 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. It's the Holy Spirit within us that deals with us. We say, Lord, I'm pursuing you. I belong to you. God, I thank you what you're going to do in this day and age, Father God. Lord, those things that have caught areas of my life where I've limped for a long time, thank you, Father, as you speak to me in these areas. Man, those areas that are limping are going to be healed. You love them. Can you lift your hands with me and say, Lord, thank you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for the word of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for speaking for every heart, every area, Father God, areas of, Lord, my heart, everyone from the front row to the back row, Lord, areas, Father God, in our lives, you're saying this, your area, an areas of character I want to grow you in. I want to grow you in. I want that limping to be healed in your life. Allow me to speak to you. Allow me to, if I want to turn any table over in your heart, allow me to do it. Anything I want from you, anything in my life, you just say, Lord, I give it all to you. Every table, every way I think, Lord, I'm willing to give it to you. Turn it over if you want, Lord, whatever you want to do. I just know, God, I don't want to limp in these areas anymore. And so, Lord, we praise you, we exalt you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit, Father God. Not just in church, Lord, even more in the living rooms and dining rooms, amen. Father God, in bedrooms, Father God, your Spirit being poured out on the way to work, Father God, on the way back to work, wherever we are. We thank you, Father, for a supernatural encounter with the Spirit of God that will change us forever. Father, we praise you. We exalt you. There'll be those. If you need prayer, if you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, if you just want to come to the front and just worship the Lord, whatever you want to do, but I would invite you to allow the Lord to minister to you, to speak to you, and say, ask, Lord, am I desperate for you to continue to mature me in my life? Lord, I pray, Lord, that I would be desperate, Lord, to not keep, to live, you know, we can live with certain things with a limp in our lives, whatever that might be that you might struggle with. And we'll just limp our whole life. And God's saying, I want to overturn those tables. I want the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And I want to use you for my glory. Father, we thank you for that. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for stirring the hearts of our young people. We thank you for stirring us afresh and anew. Thank you, Father, for the impact of the Word of God. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, Father God. We thank you for breaking every fetter and every chain. We thank you for a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Lord, thank you that we'd realize how much you love us and care for us, God, that you won't allow us to stay the same, Lord, that you will discipline us, Lord God. Help us to have ears to hear, Father God, what you're doing in this day, in this hour. Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of it. What a wonderful time it is to be alive. We can start complaining and look at things going on and complain, but what a wonderful time it is to be alive and to declare the glory of God as he pours out his Holy Spirit again in this day, in this generation. We thank you, we praise you, we exalt you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we will not miss out on what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Do you love him today? Hallelujah, brother.